Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
What is the Bible? Who wrote the Bible?
The church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is where our trouble began.
This sounds to me like the voice of someone who really has an appalling ignorance of what the Bible says about itself and what Jesus said about it.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's go.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here.
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Thank you. Not just for signing up for the web app at FortisPlus.org or downloading the free app at your favorite app store, Fortis Plus, but thank you for sending stuff. Wow, do you find things? Our world is like a treasure chest full of chicanery and nonsense and heartache, isn't it? Thank you for sending it to idea@wretched.org. If you got questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, you can email it or you can do the texter machine, 877-282-2337.
All right, this first question is...
See how I snuck in that plug?
I saw.
Just promote. It's free, by the way. Not selling it. Yep. The app is free. We want to give these things to you. Our goal is pretty bold. Yeah, we want to be a teaching ministry, that is certain. But boy, if we could just wave a magic wand that all of God's saints would just love him more. That's the goal of Fortis Institute for all of us. 877-282-2337. I won't interrupt you again.
This is from Corey. A text from Corey. My employer, a state government agency, is requiring attendance at a DEI training next spring. They weren't specific about the content of the training. However, I assume it will be full of Marxist nonsense. Do you think it would be wise for me to pursue a religious exemption, or should I just go?
Well, it will be, because that's what it is. So you don't have to speculate on that. Should you go or should you not? You could ask your employer, could you see the syllabus? What's going to be taught there? Could you use a religious exemption only if they're going to be talking about religion or something that violates a Christian statute? That might be a pretty hard case to make. Do you have to go? Could you ask to be exempted from it? You could. And I also think that as long as they're not forcing you to participate and affirm and say, yes, I will now hate my whiteness or whatever it is that they want you to do, I think you can go. It'll be agitating, that's to be certain. But if that's what your boss says he's going to pay you for that day, you got to sit and listen to it. I don't think that you're sinning if you do. There is another option, and I fear that this option is not a good one. It is not available to many, if any, and that is if you've got a place where they're just constantly harping on it and you find it so oppressive, find another job. That's easier said than done, isn't it? But I don't think that you're sinning if you endure it. It's when they force you to affirm it. That's the problem. And I think that Christians should get their hearts ready to deal with that, because I think that is a part of many of the trainings that we hear on DEI, that you got to apologize for your whiteness. You've got to recognize, you got to promise to use pronouns. I don't think a Christian can make those promises and commitments. And if asked to, we need to be willing to say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. And I would do it lovingly, respectfully, but I'd also do it in a way that I'd prepare for the chips to fall. 877-282-2337.
All right. This next question is from Chris. Todd, I'm curious on your thoughts on bad theology versus...
I don't like it. Hate it. Next question.
Versus a non-saving theology. For instance, the Mormon Church clearly has a non-saving theology. Looking at the Catholic Church, however, they no doubt have terrible theology, but is their theology so bad that it puts a wall between the saving grace of Christ, yes, and their members?
Absolutely. Absolutely it does. In fact, if you happen to be near Alpharetta, Georgia, preaching on that subject Sunday, courtesy of the text, that is the beauty of expository preaching. When you go to a topical church, it doesn't have to be sinful, but here's what happens. The pastor reads something, sees something, he gets kind of hot on something, hears a song, a billboard, and he wants to just on that. And that's what you get. You get the pastor's hot button of the week, which means it's more likely you're going to be conformed into the image of your topical preaching pastor than you will be into the image of Jesus Christ. Expository preaching, it picks the subject matter for you. And this might be a good example of this. In the Gospel of Matthew, I would encourage you, if you're looking for a way to maybe read your Bible a little deeper, go on this sleuth. Try to see if you can find this. The repeated messages in Matthew. See if you can find them, because there are a lot of them. And start jotting them down. Well, we always see Jesus again associating with the lowly. It's in his genealogy, always associating with the lowly. He's associating with the lowly. I guess Matthew wants us to know that Jesus associates with the lowly. You see, three times, it's almost identical. It's like 12, 15, and another chapter earlier, maybe 8, somewhere in the neighborhood, where it says that Jesus went to this land and everybody came out with their sick and he healed every single one of them three times. Now, that means if you're expositing the scripture, do you know what I talked about three times? Jesus healing everybody. The exact same subject, almost identical phrasing. But we're going to talk about it three times because God talked about it three times and it must be important. And we see those themes woven throughout Matthew, which means even though I might not choose to talk about this particular subject, God chose the text and he chose the subject matter for our church that Sunday. And I don't have to make something up. And even if it is repetitive, we know that it's good and needed repetition. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in there. So this Sunday, it happens to be Matthew chapter 16, which I think is really connected to Matthew 18, but only in the rearview mirror, because the people who are hearing Matthew 16, they didn't have Matthew 18 yet to help them fully understand a couple of issues. One would be the kingdom of the keys, the priesthood of all believers. That's next Sunday. But then also the office, the confession of Peter. And the office of the papacy, is that in Matthew chapter 16? We're going to talk about that on Sunday. Because the claim of the Roman Catholic Church is that there has been an unbroken succession from Peter till today, and that is so not true. In fact, I saw a video. Somebody sent me a video. It was a Catholic apologist, and he was talking about the ability and the right of bishops and priests to forgive sins, to be the ones who forgive the sins, not announce it, not to affirm what has already been said in heaven about somebody who's in sin. Not that. No, they'd have the authority. I am forgiving you in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ. I forgive you of all of your sins. And he then went on to explain, because that's what Jesus said to Peter. And he stumbled, and I knew he was in trouble. And Peter, he passed that down then. And where do you read that? You don't. You don't read it in Matthew 16 or anywhere else that there was some sort of direction or instruction, or even just a telling in a historical narrative that this is what happened. The history is not there. But that's, quite honestly, the papacy, big problem for the Roman Catholic Church, that he's the vicar of Christ, the head of the church. Oh, that's just blasphemous. You want to use the AI machine? I had some files from speaking on these verses a number of years ago. I think it was at the G3 conference. And I'd come up with 25 reasons why Peter is not the Pope. It wasn't that hard to do. And I went looking for quotes from Luther, and it's mostly taken from Against the Papacy. And I thought, I'll share some of that this Sunday. No, I can't share it this Sunday because we have children in our congregation and they can't hear these things that the popes were doing. It was debauched. It is an office. Whew, blasphemous at the very least and at the very best. But it's their doctrine of justification. It's their communion practice, the re-crucifying of Jesus Christ. It's the co-redemptrix concept that is not biblical about Mary, and that you need Mary to get to the Father? Oof. Co-redemptrix? I know that there can be some people inside of the Roman Catholic Church who hear the gospel and are saved. But I don't think they're going to stay very long if they're paying attention, because they're going to hear something contrary to grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone revealed in Scripture alone. There's another issue, tradition. You got the magisterium. Not to mention the bloody history of the Roman Catholic Church. So to say that it's bad would be an understatement. The theology of the Roman Catholic Church is entirely deficient for salvation. And if anybody is adhering strictly to Roman Catholic dogma, I'm sorry, they're not within orthodoxy. It's a works-based system. And I wonder if we evangelicals have lost a little bit of our Reformation fire when it comes to this subject of speaking about Roman Catholicism, and particularly the office of the papacy. This is Wretched Radio. There are many struggles experienced by our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, specifically those who run the Master's Academy International.
The biggest challenge for men attending TMAI, especially in our context in Ukraine, is the opposition from people in the church who oppose sound doctrine, and therefore men really struggle to transform their ministries in accordance with the Word of God.
The Master's Academy International in Ukraine, fighting a battle on two fronts. You've got Russia, of course, and you have opposition from the church in Ukraine for biblically trained pastors to preach the gospel. Would you please consider supporting the Master's Academy International? Adopt a seminary, 17 different countries. Might want to turn your attention to Ukraine. To learn more about this amazing legacy ministry, visit wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. The world, as you may have noticed, is changing rapidly every day. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching, we're responding. Formerly Gospel Partners Media, we've evolved into Fortis Institute. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we're standing strong in this brave new world. We've added 8 new theologically sound voices to our ministry, so it's no longer a one-man show. We're equipping Christians like you to thrive in a world that is increasingly hostile towards our faith. But we can't do it alone. We need you to stand with us. Would you prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? It's your ongoing support that will help us produce books and resources and curriculums and podcasts, all to strengthen local churches and individual believers. And guess what? All of our content that we've been talking about, it's available on the Fortis Plus app, absolutely free of charge. Become an ongoing monthly gospel partner at fortisinstitute.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
You're familiar with Tomorrow Clubs. It's a ministry that we have happily lauded over the years. We commend them heartily to you because they are an efficient ministry. They've got the gospel right, and they go to places where the gospel is usually not propagated. Very poor parts of the globe, specifically Eastern Europe and in parts of Africa, the Tomorrow Clubs, working in conjunction with a local church to preach the gospel to the kids, sing, have them memorize scripture. Pray, and entire towns are getting saved. We love the Tomorrow Clubs, and if you want to be encouraged and be reminded that Jesus is building his church, they just reached 1,000 of these clubs. That's encouraging, and I'd like to encourage you to please consider become a ministry partner to the Tomorrow Clubs. If you like evangelistic ministries, they're the ticket. They're the bomb. You can learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 1540. The Society of Jesus is approved by the Vatican. Founded by Ignatius Loyola, the Jesuit order sent out zealous missionaries throughout the world, counteracting the Reformation and bringing Roman Catholic Christianity to the Americas.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you're attending Alpharetta Bible Church this weekend, you might want to go. Who can I recommend? I want to go listen to. I'm trying to. I got it. This is Wretched Radio. You can go to Fortis Plus. That's where you can go. We have new podcasts with great dudes. Let them disciple you. Brad Bigney, his podcast is Thrive. You can get it at the Fortis Plus app. Wherever you do your app business, you can get it at fortisplus.org. And you can listen to these guys teach you from years, decades of biblical experience. They want to disciple you. They want to grow your love for Jesus. Brad Bigney, marriage, parenting, family. You've got Greg Gifford with Biblical Counseling Transformed, ACEs podcast, John Krotz with Integrated, Adam Tyson, The Way of Manhood. And if you're younger, if you're a young man, please go get Way of Manhood and commit to listening every week. Here's why. I get it. I understand. We're so used to swiping. If I don't like it, it's out of the next thing. Be more patient, because this is what I know will happen for you. He's going to use the Bible to help you do. Sorry if this is offensive, not trying to offend, but I'm just going to use a word. I hope you accept it in the spirit in which it is delivered. It's going to help you do Christian adulting, not just adulting, but Christian adulting. Some people like that word. Some people don't. So if you don't, sorry. But he's going to help you to be a man, a man. And it's not that quick. You got some learning to do, and you've got some downloading. You got some rewiring that needs to take place. Commit to listening. So you can go listen to those guys if you're going to be at Alpharetta Bible Church, because this is going to be one of the points that I'm going to be making this weekend, preaching on Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus commends Peter for his magnificent answer. And the Roman Catholic Church has taken those verses to say, there it is. He's the Pope. And Jimmy and I were talking during the break about how do they do that? Well, you have to read that into the text, because here's one of the key issues in understanding Matthew 16. When Jesus said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The Roman Catholic Church says he's building it on Peter. And here's one of the reasons why. I have 27 reasons why.
What?
It's not hard.
Yeah.
There's only one of them that I think that I ripped off from somebody. It was that Jesus, it was phrased, I could tell when I read it, it's like, oh, that's the one that I didn't write. It was that Jesus wouldn't work unto death to defeat a despotic work righteous system, to merely replace it with another work righteous despotic system. Would he? But that's not this point. The point that I wanted to mention is that in the text, who's Jesus talking to? Because the Roman Catholic Church would say that he's just talking to Peter. I agree with you, he's just talking to Peter, but all of the other disciples are around there, and we don't see some sort of an installation service going on. He makes the remark, it's easily understood that he's talking about his confession of faith. The church is built on Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, the rock. That's upon whom the church is being built, not a man. So if he's just talking to Peter, so that excludes the other disciples, and it stops with Peter, because you don't see any sort of instructions to pass this along, some sort of path of succession. You don't see that. And so Peter being able to forgive sins and be the Pope, then it began with Peter and it ended with Peter. Period. No succession, because it's not in the text and it's nowhere to be found in the New Testament. And that is one of the reasons why we understand, while he was definitely talking to Peter, that the rock is Christ. The next verses about forgiving sins, it's the kingdom of the keys verse. That whatsoever you announce on earth has already been announced in heaven. That means if somebody's repented and put their trust in Jesus Christ, you can authoritatively say to them that your sins are forgiven, not because you forgave them, but because Jesus has already forgiven them from heaven. And you're merely echoing on earth what has already been voiced in heaven. And the Roman Catholic Church says, no, that's for the Pope, that's for the priests and the bishops. Where does it say it in the text? And you've got the exact same problem. If it was just given to Peter in the context, What's the succession program? So it was either just given to Peter and it ends with Peter, or you have the priesthood of all believers. And that is the Protestant understanding of Matthew chapter 16, the kingdom of keys and the priesthood of all believers. You don't have to hold an office. You don't have the authority to you can't forgive nothing. Jesus forgives. You merely announce the truth that has been codified in Scripture, or having examined the evidence in, say, a church discipline situation, you can say, yeah, this guy's forgiven because he's repented, or not. If you are not planning on going to Alpharetta Bible Church, you just heard a part of the sermon, and if you are, you can tune back in now. 877-282-2337.
All right, this question is...
Would I lose you?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Didn't realize my mic wasn't on.
Too much?
No.
Well, all you need to do is stare at a text. That's the advantage if you're preparing. Here's an idea for you. Yesterday with John Kratz, we were talking about how to study the scriptures devotionally. Just give this a go. Pretend you have to give a 5-minute presentation on a verse. Pick a verse, any verse, or pick a little section of scripture and write a sermon. Go ahead, just do it. Nobody's ever going to see it. You don't have to, you can share it. In fact, I suspect you will share it because you're going to be like, oh, I was reading this verse. I'm studying it. It's amazing. Did you know that this is? That's what happens when you study the word. So if you're looking for a way to get deeper into the word, imagine that next Tuesday, you're the one who's going to be called on to give a 5-minute devotional. Study it like that. You will grow. Sorry, Jimmy. Won't interrupt again. Yeah. Not that you're paying attention.
This is a text from Anonymous, who I think just signed up for Fortis Plus.
Oh, look at you.
I think. Because,
how do you know this?
Well, it just came in. And
We're getting a ton of emails from contact@fortisinstitute.org. You can get a hold of us that way. If you're having any glitches, I think we've got most of the bugs worked out. There weren't many, but we killed all of them. So if you got a problem, I think contact@fortisinstitute.org will get you to us.
I won't interrupt you again.
Thank you. Can we do the show like Joe Biden the entire time?
No, please, no.
Have you seen Joe Biden lately?
I have not. We were just talking about that.
Funny.
Anyway, this text is from Anonymous.
Like he's president. You would, if you watch a Kamala Harris ad, I'm telling, it's like Donald Trump is president, right? He's the one who's created all of these problems, right?
Yeah.
It's just staggering. Talk about, I think they call it gaslighting. By the way, this is very exciting. Jimmy, I just heard that Kamala Harris said that she wants to make the United States of America great again. That's hers.
Yeah, that's hers.
Yeah, she wants to do that. She's building that wall and Mexico's going to pay for it. So weird.
All right. This is from Anonymous. He texted in, Todd, I was just watching Christian Liberty again. And at one point it says, protect your liberty. But later it says not to insist on your liberty.
Sure, that's right.
How am I protecting my liberty if I allow others to take it from me?
Well, because you're willing to give it up. That's what Paul talks about. He's on about this. Really deep in Romans chapter 14, you can also find this 1 Corinthians 8 through 10, 3 chapters on this subject. So if somebody doesn't want you to do something because they think it's a sin, I should be very quick to say, okay. Simultaneously, though, that doesn't mean that I have to stop that in all contexts, in all places, every single place that I go. I'm just stopping it because I don't want to be a stumbling block in that. I don't want to cause an offense. I don't want to keep them from loving Jesus more. And so I give it up. That's clear. I think in 1 Corinthians 10. But simultaneously, I have that liberty. And he set us free. And there are some preference issues, and there are some things that some people might deem to be that aren't, and I get to exercise that liberty. And I'm not going to give it up in totality, but I will give it up in that instance. The subject of Christian liberty is really difficult. The easy stuff is the dancing, the drinking, smoking, going to movie theaters. That's the easy stuff. But you get into the context of the local church, and all of a sudden you realize, oh, wow, there's like a gazillion issues that go on here. Just how worship is done, the instrumentation in the worship, the way that the church is organized, the Sunday school programs, on and on and on it goes. And we need to really dig into and study this doctrine well, because it can get complex. Because what you have are two individuals. Neither one is wrong, but one thinks he's right when it's not really an issue. And I've seen Christian liberty abused backwards by those folks just as much as I've seen people trample on those people who have a more tender conscience on a subject. I think we're giving that away now, aren't we? Is Christian, would you look at Fortis Plus?
Yeah, that's why I said I think he texted.
Watched it again.
Right, uh-huh.
Okay, so I think you can watch Christian liberty. It's long. It's, I don't know how many lectures, it's a lot of them, and it is well worth your time. And did I mention it's free? The web app, fortisplus.org, or download the app, Fortis Plus, at your favorite streaming site. Download site. Oh, I almost made it. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Our top story today comes out of the East Coast, where many of you I know have been on the edge of your seats worrying about what's going on with this dock strike. Well, ease your worries. The dock workers have suspended their strike until January as the International Longshoremen's Association and the U.S. Maritime Alliance reached a tentative agreement on wages. It's okay to relax now. In health news, a study published in JAMA Network Open reveals that transgender and gender fluid individuals are up to 3 times more likely to be diagnosed with depression and anxiety compared to those comfortable with their biological gender. Maybe there's a reason God made us male and female. And messing with that design, it's not doing anyone any favors. Now to some news that's raising, or should be raising, more eyebrows than it likely is. Melania Trump, in her upcoming memoir that's released next week, expresses support for abortion rights. She writes, and I quote, "It is imperative to guarantee that women have autonomy in deciding their preference of having children." Well, they do have that right, Melania, and it should be exercised before doing what it is that causes them to be pregnant to begin with. In Colorado, the state's agreed to pay over $1.5 million in legal fees to a web designer who refused to create a website for a same-sex couple. That follows last year's Supreme Court ruling that the designer wasn't obligated to create websites for LGBTQ couples. Turns out the First Amendment's not just a suggestion after all. Now get this, a Lutheran pastor who claims to be transgender told CBS recently that the Bible wasn't written for 2024, saying God created, quote, "everyone else as well." To the congregants of this, you can't see my air quotes, pastor's church, if the fact that a transgender pastor wasn't enough to convince you that something's off, maybe this rewriting of scripture will. To the state of California now, where a federal judge has blocked the state's new deep fake law, calling it a blunt tool that unconstitutionally stifles free and unfettered exchange of ideas. Imagine that. Again, the First Amendment protecting free speech. And remember that volleyball story we told you earlier this week where Boise State forfeited a game against San Jose State because of their use of a transgender player? Well, it's not just Boise State anymore. Now 4 colleges have forfeited their games against San Jose State over their usage of this transgender player. Looks like common sense is on a comeback, folks. And lastly, let's end on an encouraging note. A high school student in Colorado named Chase Winbank won a religious freedom battle after being punished for praying on campus. The school attempted to claim separation of church and state, but apparently forgot that that also means the state can't restrict religious freedom. Chase's stand even led to new measures protecting religious freedom on campuses nationwide. And that has been today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. Nehemiah is the continuing story of exiles returning from Babylonian captivity. In this book, the people rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and renew the covenant under the leadership of Nehemiah. Despite opposition, the wall is rebuilt in 52 days, and it's perceived as a work wrought by God. God will bless that work which brings him honor. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Said I would, so I'm gonna. This is Wretched Radio. Told the Lord, if you would be so kind to grant this request, I'll praise you for it. Just got a text, so I'm delivering on my promise. Thank you, Lord. Answered a really big prayer request, and I can't tell you what it is, but I will tell you someday, but it's really, really big, and it has to do with Alpharetta Bible Church. It's like clearly the Lord moved somebody's heart to render a decision in our favor that is going to help us, I believe, grow and impact the community in which we live. I told the Lord if he'd answer that request that I'd praise him for it, not like quid pro quo. Okay, you do this for me and I'll give you one of those touchdown praises. You know, the kissy kissy, throw the, hey, up to you, God. You know, the no, I just said, Lord, we'll praise you for it. And so I want to take the time to do that because I literally just got the text indicating he answered that prayer. He does, you know, a lot, all the time. And here's something I'm guilty of. I don't know about you, but I ask God for a lot of stuff. And sometimes he says no, and it's clear. Sometimes it's you're just going to have to wait. But other times it's a clear and obvious yes. And I can take those for granted. I forgot that I prayed about it. It happens and I just chomp, chomp, move on. That's a habit I'm trying to break in myself, recognizing this is an act of kindness from Jesus Christ, whether I prayed for it or not. Thank you for this, Lord. Thank you for so much that I take for granted, especially answered prayers. So thank you, Lord. That was awesome. And I can't wait. I'm sorry to be cryptic, but I can't tell you at the moment. But I will tell you. I'm just telling you. Jesus was just really kind to this church called Alpharetta Bible Church. Would you be kind to us and send stuff, whether it's sermons, stories, articles, anything wretched, to idea@wretched.org, or text away questions, comments, conundrums, snarks to 877-282-2337. Jimmy, was that kind of jerky?
No.
Hey, something amazing just happened. I'm so grateful to the Lord. Can't tell you. I felt a little jerky.
Yeah.
But no, I just got it.
Yeah, that's right.
And if I didn't just pause for a second and do the very thing that I said that I would do, or delay. Like, oh, so tonight when it's finally quiet, we're not running around doing all this stuff. Okay, then I'll thank the Lord for, no, I want to get better at that. Seeing an answered prayer and immediately responding to the Lord's goodness. So thank you, Lord. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Kyla. Todd, I've been receiving disappointment after disappointment after disappointment consecutively. Disappointments in relationships, job opportunities, and even future travel plans. I'm beginning to become cynical and expect disappointment in everything before it even happens.
Yeah.
What could God possibly be saying to me in these circumstances?
That he's good, that he's able, and he's faithful. And he's got you. Was that a man or a woman that said that?
Woman.
Sister, he's got you. He's so totally aware. He's orchestrating it all for your good, for his glory. Now, it's up to you to try to discern what those things are. You need to go searching your heart to discover what is it that the Lord is trying to do for me, because God never does anything to his children. He only does things for his children. What is it? What is your heavenly Father who loves you enough to disciple and discipline you in that discipleship that he wants to teach you? And whatever it is, you can rest in knowing that it must be important. God is so good, he will give you what he wants to give you as opposed to what you want to get from him, because he knows better. And he, needless to say, thinks on a higher plane. The things that he desires for us are so much bigger. And this is not to suggest, look, these things, there's always a danger in talking about things like jobs and careers or trips. Like, well, you know, it's only a job and they're all going to burn up. And one day we're going to be in eternity and you're not going to. Well, those things are true, but come on, we're living. This is real. And God actually does care about these things, and we can too. They're not insignificant. So you can know this, and this is where you can grow through trials, tribulations, and adversity. Go do a study on those words. And you will see that God gives you things in them. He grows you in patience. He grows you in perseverance. He redirects your worship. He removes idols. He does so many things. So you want a job. It could be that the Lord is saying, I'm not going to give you that job because you're loving that job too much. Can you love your job and desire a job? Of course you can. But when it supplants God or it becomes a greater object of your affection than Jesus Christ himself, God is not going to give that to you. He's going to give you what you need to love him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, there's a number of consecutive disappointments in your life. It's not like you're in a bad streak. The Lord is in your streak. And therefore, you can know that what is going on, while it can be disappointing, while it can even be hard, he's doing something. God is up to stuff in your life. He knows the stars by name. Not one of them is lost. Do you think that he's not aware of you? Oh, you of little faith? Cares about the sparrows, cares about the lilies of the field, cares far more about you. So whatever those hurts, those disappointments are, it's okay that you can grieve those, but simultaneously, if those things have been happening in such a way where it's kind of gotten your attention, then that's exactly where the Lord wants you. Now, with the help of other people who are godly, with the help of people in your local church, with the help of spouse or family members, try to discern what it is. And let the Lord do his good work in you so that whatever the job is, and I hate to say what the job is because I just don't think there are lowly jobs. That's just a human construct. So which job is better, being the chief financial officer or being a grape picker? We automatically go, well, the executive, that's the best. No, it's not. It's what the world says. The job is the job that God has given to you, and he wants you to do it in a way that is pleasing to him, knowing that you are picking grapes so that people can have their communion grape juice on Sunday morning, or the kids can have their grape juice, or whatever it is they make raisins for their raisin bran, that you're ministering to God's people by doing a job that the world might say is lowly, but God esteems it because it is about serving him and glorifying him with our attitude, with our skills, with our desire and our time and our energy. It's an act of worship to God. Live in the light of that, because that's reality for his children. And whatever it is that might be disappointing you in addition to career, be thinking in the exact same terms. God is good. He's able, he's faithful, he's up to something. What is it, Lord? Help me. Reveal to me any unconfessed sins. Help me to search my own heart and use this thing so that I can love you more. And make sure you're in a local church so you can be encouraged. So when you're feeling weak, when you feel like, oh, this is too, I can't keep doing this. It's just one blow after another that other people can prop you up. When you can feel weak, your God is strong, but so can be the people around you who can prop you up. Be in a local church and be engaged and involved in the life of the church. And let's be talking about this stuff, shall we? I've never been a fan of those people who are like, you know, hey, we're going to go deeper than surface talk, but we do need to go deeper than surface talk. I don't think you need to spill your guts on everything. But we're the body of Christ. We're the called out ones. We're going to be the resurrection people unto everlasting life. We're going to spend a lot of time together. Why not start acting like it now? 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, there's a lot of debate around judgment. What can we judge and when can we not? Or when can we judge and
Jimmy,
when can we?
Yes. Could you maybe go to FortisInstitute.org and search for a book on the subject of discernment. Anything in there?
Judge not.
That's the one right there. Yeah. That we try to deal with that. So the whole book isn't dedicated to judgment, but it has an awful lot in there about it. There are rules to these things. And so I think if you just like the basic that would guide everything else is we judge with righteous judgment. We can't judge with sinful judgment. Now you can bore down into each one of those categories way deep, but then there's processes for that. And I think that there are some rules that most discernment ministries never concern themselves with that will make sure that you're not, we do not have a prohibition against judging everything, because we'd even have to make a judgment about not judging something if we can't judge everything. And then we'd be violating that we can't judge anything. You got to judge what hamburger you want at McDonald's, not that you should be eating those burgers regularly. We judge all the time. We just need to do it righteously, not sinfully. This is Wretched Radio. Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there. And Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Knowledge is power, but only when applied. Like a story I heard about on the radio the other day. This woman worked a job for a tech company previously, and she stopped working at some point to be a mother. Years later, realized that the stock options they gave her were worth millions. Imagine having a bank account filled with millions of dollars, never using it. Well, that's theology without application. Introducing Integrated with Dr. John Krotz.
We'll help you connect head and heart, turning Bible knowledge into life-changing action.
Thank you, Dr. Krotz. And at Fortis Institute, listen, we're standing strong in a world that's losing its weight. Our name means strong in Latin, and that's our promise to you. Visit FortisInstitute.org or download the Fortis Plus app today and start listening to Integrated with Dr. John Krotz, and then join us in standing firm no matter the cost, because in a world that's falling apart, we're building something strong. FortisInstitute.org. It's FortisInstitute.org.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Friend of Sinners. While we were dead in our sins and condemned as enemies, Jesus bore our sins in himself so we could be reconciled to the Father.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Things were going so well, and then there was Jimmy. This is Wretched Radio. I thought I did okay.
You did great.
With the discernment question, and then you remind me.
We've got a resource coming soon from Justin Peters. Is that?
But it's not available now.
No, it's not. But it is.
So that would be like a tease that cannot be fulfilled.
No, it's coming soon.
Well, dude,
Okay. I don't know when soon is.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Neither do I, quite honestly. I know that we filmed it a number of months ago. A number of you were in the studio. It's going to be a... Oh, I think this fall. Oh, I think we are in fall, aren't we? So I think nowish. I think it's going to be right at the year end is when it is going to be. We did 16 lectures, something like that, on the subject of discernment. It doesn't capture everything about the subject, which is a reminder. The issue of discernment is far more expansive than I think most people understand. And we shoot from the hip so quickly. And we I'll tell you, what are those? I guess it would be a blowtorch. You know, those military things where they just go, whoom, and they just throw huge flames. That's how we tend to discern. We got to stop and ask some questions. And there are a lot of questions that need to be asked, which is why most times what you're inclined to fire off onto the social media probably should slow down as a rule. We should be the slow discerners. I know there's an energy. There's a kind of this, it just broke. I got to talk about it. Or it just broke. I got to hear about it. No, you don't. We can wait. And I think that's one of the rules of discernment, that we think and we pray and we get advice if necessary. Then we make a decision about whether or not we need to communicate whatever it is that we think is important for people to hear, which is, by the way, one of the rules of discernment. Will people grow from this? Will people somehow learn more about our Savior in this? Will they be corrected in their behavior? And that doesn't mean a wrist slap or name calling, but would could I bring this out so that there could be a good godly course correction? That needs to be thought through. We should be the considerate people. We're not the breaking news people. We're the ones who think. And we don't forget to speak when needed. We don't let the moment pass and then it disappears and we got nothing. No, that would be, I think, to be derelict in our duty. We should be the ones leading the cultural conversations, but we do not know. We should not be the first ones out of the gate. Look forward to Justin Peters and I discussing Thou Shalt Judge. Available soon. Coming soon at Fortis Institute. Well, there's that one, John Krotz. We've already got that one done. That is you're going to dig that one. It is about being a gentle man. So good. All at Fortis Institute. And don't forget, get the app. Please get the app. Please avail yourself of all of the free content. It's not a subscription. It's create an account, but it's not an account. You don't buy anything. You just get it. But we've got to capture your name and email so we can spam you. Did I just say that out loud?
Yes, you did.
Oh, boy. Idea at wretched.org, 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Isaac. Todd, how would you counsel someone to end a witnessing encounter? During Witness Wednesdays, I've noticed your call to action is generally figure out if these things are true. Some people would want to end a witness encounter by asking the unbeliever to make a decision.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't do it the way that we see it done traditionally, but I don't think there's anything wrong with saying to somebody who you're witnessing to them to say, it's really important that this moment does not evaporate on you. You're standing right now in the bullseye. God's got his scope on you. Think this through. Do it right now. See ya. And I leave because we want to let the Holy Spirit do the convicting. It is not that difficult to get somebody to pray with you, especially in the South. People are polite. I'll bet, I would say in the last 5 years, okay, there would be, all right, that would not be fair. Because my percentage rule on assessing the attitude of students when you witness to them, about 99% are amenable to conversations. They're willing to talk about it. But I don't think that that's the same number that I could lead in a prayer. But I bet it would be half could lead them in a prayer. And haven't we seen a proliferation of false converts these days? And is it perhaps because we lead people in a prayer and people, they're polite, they bow their head, they maybe even mumble along with you. but their heart is not being convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Holy Spirit needs to do that work. And if he is doing that work, honestly, you could, let's just say you're witnessing to somebody and the Lord is saving that person. And you tell that person, you know, would you just stand right here? Just stand right here for just a moment. I'm going to go about 10, 15 yards away from you. Just stay right there. And then when I get there, I'm going to ask you to turn around so you can't see me, okay? Okay. And then you walk away 10, 15 feet. All right. Turn around. And then you fire off of the blocks and you just slam right into them. That's not going to keep them from getting saved if the Holy Spirit is saving them. You can't biff it. And you can't cause it either. So therefore, we simply are ambassadors that bring bad news, then good news, that herald that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Forgiveness of sins can be found in him. Furthermore, he will usher you into a relationship with himself and his Father and the Holy Spirit. That is our Savior. And he commands you this day to repent. Gotta go. Because I can't save them. You just faithfully deliver it and leave the converting work up to the Lord. Just trying to think. That's in Judge Not 2. Available at FortisInstitute.org. Would you please send us stuff, whatever it happens to be? Very grateful when you send us articles and stories and sermons, YouTube videos. Mega grateful. idea@wretched.org.
This one is from Anonymous, who texted in, Todd, can women serve as deacons in the church?
That's a debated question. This would be an issue where I don't think that it rises to the level of an essential issue. I've got a pretty strong opinion about it. I don't see it in the text. I know some people do. Good people do, by the way. I mean, some really good people do. You might be surprised at the people. If you don't believe that a woman should be in the office of deacon, you'd be surprised at the number of good guys that are okay with that. I'm not persuaded. I simply don't see it. I don't think the continuity of the Greek language in 1 Timothy 3 is somehow moving to wives, or it's moving rather to women. I think it's talking about the wives of elders, the wives of deacons, not deaconesses or elderesses. And so I'm of the opinion, no. Now, having said that, do I believe that women can serve in the church? Of course. You know, it's funny. I should probably separate this, but I'm not going to. Was thinking just this morning about women and men and the distinctives between us. And I was just thinking about how it's pretty obvious that in general, God has built the genders for different specialties. And I think back when my kids were small, to say that I was an affectionate dad would be a massive understatement. Hugged them, kissed them, sniffed them, adored having those little ones running around. They got a boo-boo, happy to just get down with them and dry their tears. But not once in my best moment of being a sympathetic, empathetic dad, did I even come close to the level of Mrs. Friel. Not once. You know why? Because I can't. Now, that doesn't mean that I can't be a man, a father, who is loving and warm toward my children. But what I'm saying is, I can't do it as well as my wife does it. I can't do it. Because God has equipped women for certain things, and God has equipped men for other things. And it is only the world that downgrades the former from the latter. It is only the world that says, oh, you stay at home with your children? Oh, you don't work, which is a real side splitter, if you don't mind me saying so. Like, yeah, right. You know, there's a reason a lot of women don't want to stay at home. It's more work, frankly, and it's hard work. And it can be mundane work, but it is glorious work. It is so glorious, and you do it so well. Ladies, you just do. I'm sorry. You go to a men's breakfast and you know who did the cooking. If it's good, the ladies were involved. If it's like bags of Chick-fil-A, you know that the men had no support from women. And that is not trite business. That's what makes things nice. You make things nice, ladies. You make things warm. You make things smell good. You provide a nest for all of us, and it is a magnificent work. So just because you don't get the title, deacon, doesn't mean that what you do is unimportant, irrelevant, and not super appreciated. And if we haven't said it enough, ladies, thank you for being women. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.